Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's right. Baldy joins us here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Baldy, now indoors after being in that mess at MetLife Stadium, watching the Broncos beat the Jets there in a nasty game, but a big win for the Denver Broncos. But we're talking Niners here. And Baldy, the Sharks were eating on Sunday against the Patriots. Six sacks and all. Brissett got hit over and over and over. But I want to start with the quarterback, because it wasn't the cleanest game for the 49ers. A lot of mistakes, a lot of things to clean up, special teams, defense, all that stuff. But it feels good to know you got a damn good quarterback, and that's Brock Purdy. The guy's just in total control in his third season in the NFL. And again, outside of the one decision where he forced the interception and double covers to Brandon Ayuk, I thought Brock Purdy was Brock Purdy, which is one of the best quarterbacks in this league. Baldy, good morning to you.
And there's no doubt, Bonte. I mean, you just watch him play, and you know whether he has to get out of harm's way, has to extend a play. I thought it was a really – not clever, but it was the right game plan by Kyle to get all the guys that missed the week before, whether it was Kittle or Debo, to get them involved. You put Debo at tailback position in the first play, get the ball in his hands. Ayuk got involved early in the game. Like, I just thought the game plan was smart, got the guys involved right away. And that's Brock Purdy's job. Brock Purdy is like, okay, here's the script. This is what we're practicing. This is what we're walking through on Saturday morning. Now let's go out and execute. And you give that guy a game plan, he's in the ear with Kyle and, you know, with Greasy and the whole group all week long. Like, that guy's going to go out and execute. And I know people still question, I guess, like, just what he is. Right. For whatever reason, that's fine. Like, it's just getting, it's kind of old.
Right.
You know, you just watch that guy go play football. And the Patriots are a sound defensive team. They really are. They've got good players at every position. Keon White's a good young player. Gonzalez, they've got, the safeties are active. I mean, that's a good defense that he carved up.
What do you make of their red zone struggles, whether it be offensive line, play design, you know, quarterback? Why are they struggling in the red zone, I guess, is the question.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's, you know, I mean, most teams either play one or two defenses in the red zone. They generally are either a quarters team or they're a man team. Probably man if they're blitzing to try to pressure the quarterback, or they're playing quarters. And when you're playing quarters, if the windows are going to be tight. If you're going to the three-man side, Joe, all right, and they box those three where it's just really cloudy, and then you try to come back to the two-man side, you might not have time, especially if they're blitzing. So I do think sometimes it could be the quarterback decision where to go first with it. I'll never forget this, Joe, and I always remember this. But I remember Kurt Warner telling me one time about red zone offense. And, you know, I mean, this is the greatest show on turf, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He goes, sometimes, Baldy, it's good to have Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin just to throw it up to him, let him go get it. And honestly, like, it shouldn't be just that simple sometimes to have those kind of guys. Sean Payton, you know, had a great tight end for a long time in New Orleans, basketball player, just threw it up to him, let him go get it. You know, sometimes just having a guy like Juwan Jennings in that part of the field isn't a bad option sometimes.
Well, you saw George Kittle come down with, I thought it was like the best catch, not like play, but catch of his career. It was an incredible play. And I've been screaming for weeks on this, and Shanahan's great, right? But this is one area I think he can get better at. Why don't they use Kittle in the way a Jimmy Graham or a Gronkowski or whatever, where you just ISO that guy on the side in the red zone because he's such a mismatch nightmare? I would love to see it. Is that something you'd like to see from this offense?
You know, it's a great point, Joe. And they never do it. Like last night, you saw DK Metcalf one-on-one away from the three receivers. You watch Houston play Nico Collins as the single receiver. And so whether if it's a tight end or it's Mike Evans in Tampa, I mean, these guys, these red zone threat guys, these guys that eat in the red zone, the way you're describing, Joe, I mean, you know, when I come out there in a couple weeks and we get George Kittle back on, we need to ask him that, Joe.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the reason why he caught that ball the other day is he timed his jump right. Like he wasn't any higher than anybody else. He just jumped it better than anybody else. And there's two guys right there going up for it, and he just, you know, the timing of him going to get that ball is the reason why he caught it. Now he came down with it, the whole thing. But still, I'm with you. I mean, you know, he's 6'5". He's, you know, he's a quick leaper. He's an explosive kid. I'm with you. I don't know why you wouldn't try that. And I've never actually seen that.
No,
the 49ers offense.
We haven't. We were talking about Gronk in the Super Bowl against Bobby Wagner going down there on the fade route and scored a touchdown before halftime or whatnot. And hey, it's just, you've been on this too, Baldy. You always, I recall a couple years ago, they ran this play, I think, for Ross Dwelly. And you made the point, like, why aren't you running that for George Kittle? Like, you see Detroit last night. They're running plays for their playmakers. And yet Shanahan, he's a hell of a guy. But to that point, I say even Juwan Jennings, they have a big body guy, Juwan Jennings, who's 6'5", can go up and get it. Isolate him if you're not going to isolate George Kittle.
You know, the thing is that on that, you know, if you're isolating a player, typically, if you're, let's just say you're at the 5, and you're first and goal at the 5. That if you're going to throw that ball, usually that's a first down play. Now, you also, the best way to score in the red zone, especially like, you know, when it's the tight red zone, you're inside the 10, you're at the 5, is to run it. And Jordan Mason's a hell of a player. McCaffrey scored half his touchdowns from, you know, probably inside the 5 last year. So, I mean, you want to run it first. Then your second option, if it's first down, you'll take the shot on the fade or the jump ball, or something like the isolation out there that you're describing. But it's typically not a play that you come back to because it's kind of a 50-50 play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George came down with that one, but if you don't, you're like, okay, it was worth a shot. It's a good shot, but let's find something where we have a little better, higher percentage of a completion.
Baldy here on the River Islands Guest Line. We talk to Brian Baldinger every single Tuesday at 7:30 a.m., breaking down the 49ers in the previous game and looking ahead to their opponent, which is Arizona, of course. And we'll get to them in a second. But you brought up Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason's running great. I want to get your take on Jordan Mason. But Christian McCaffrey came out earlier this week that he has bilateral Achilles tendonitis. So in both legs, he's got some sort of tendonitis here. And I believe that if the 49ers get any production from McCaffrey this year, it will be an absolute bonus. I don't know what he's dealing with here, but it doesn't sound good, Baldy. Should we expect anything from Christian McCaffrey this season on the football field?
Well, you know, the hardest thing for Christian McCaffrey to do is to rest. It just is. You know, I mean, he posts all his workouts on social media. It's great. I mean, but you, after the season he had, we said it last year, 400-plus touches, just go look at the history of anybody that's had Curtis Martin, Sean Alexander, anybody. Deuce McAllister, look at any guy that had 400 touches and look what they did the next year. Look at McCaffrey 4 years ago in Carolina when he had 400, what he did. Like, and then you combine that with his offseason training. Like, those poor Achilles are just, I don't know what you can expect right now. But the only, I know this, probably the only chance he has of getting back out there is to do what he hates the most. And that's probably to rest and just let the inflammation, you know, heal and to go away. I don't know if how capable he is of doing that. Because mentally, he doesn't feel like he's keeping himself in shape, the training. And it's most of that is psychological for any athlete, not just Christian. But it's hard. But the good thing is, Jordan Mason, I mean, outside of, you know, the receiving, you know, ability that McCaffrey gives you, you couldn't ask for any runner to be better than Mason is right now in that role.
I mean, I kind of want to follow up on that. He made a great catch that got called back for a hold on George Kittle. I mean, he just snagged it in the air. He's clearly been working on his hands. Just as a running back in general, I feel like he's a top five guy this year. I know there's a lot of great talents. I mean, Gibbs, the kid up in and Montgomery, they're just a hell of a tandem. Obviously, Saquon's having a monster year. Derrick Henry is still one of the all-time greats. I mean, Jordan Mason's on a short list, though. I mean, he's right there. Is this sustainable to run him this way and the style of play that he plays with? Is this a sustainable thing for the full season?
It's a good question, and I don't know. None of us do. He's on pace for 1,800 yards. Like, he might set a 49er record at this pace right now. Right? So you go, okay, he's never had to do this before, ever. He's young, so he's got that going for him. The line is blocking very, very well. The tight ends were excellent last week in combination. But he's not missing any holes, and he punishes players every time he does run into them. Like, he's a top five back. I mean, I don't know how many guys are going to hit 1,800 yards. You know, this Arizona defense isn't very good. There's probably a chance for – I know. Every time in the three of the four games right now, he's had 20-plus carries. He has had over 100 yards. So he had 19 carries in the game that they lost to Minnesota. He didn't get 100. But, I mean, he's a 100-yard-a-game guy right now, getting 20. Now, that's a lot. That adds up. You know, you got to figure out a way, especially when you got a lead, to get him the hell out of the game. Like, I would just, if you're up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter in Arizona, get him out. And you just got to, like, we said this last year to McCaffrey, get him out of the game and save him. You need him. Because I'll never forget talking to Nick Bosa a couple years ago about who's the defensive player of the year. And I was like, Max Crosby is. He's like, yeah, that's fine, Baldy. He plays all those plays. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. The 49ers are trying to win a Super Bowl. They've got, you know, three or four postseason games in addition to the 17. So you have to start thinking about that, even in week five, if you got a lead, to get them out, stop them at 16 carries, get them to the 20th game. That's what's going to be the most important, especially if you're not going to get much from McCaffrey right now.
Well, what do you see from the backup stand, Baldy, in that case? Because I will push back and say, I don't know if Shanahan trusts Isaac Grindel. He's fumbling on kickoff returns, not hitting the holes right. Do you really want to use Deebo Samuel at running back as a backup when he's so deadly in the pass game and you need him for, you know, these next few weeks here? And you need Deebo, period, because he's such an ultimate playmaker. What can they do with the backup spot? Is Isaac Grindel ready? What have you seen from him so far?
Well, I mean, look, he had a great Rose Bowl last year. Yeah. He's got, you know, I mean, at 220, he ran a 4.39. So, I mean, he's got speed. It looks like he knows how to use it. We haven't seen him pop one to see if he's got real speed or not. He you know, he just hasn't had many carries to get any kind of a rhythm. Right. So, you know, there's certain places you got to be at that running back position in this style of offense that you got to get to. But, you know, any coach that has hesitation about fumbling issues is not going to put him out there. You know, you look at these runs by Deebo. I mean, he's taking punishment.
Yes.
He's built strong. He's built like a running back from the waist down. But they take years off your life at that position if you start getting to that 6 or 8 carry a game. If you keep it at 3 or 4 carries and a change up here and there, all right, it's fine. Fly sweep here, put him at tailback, fine. He's good. I don't know that you want to get him into that 6 or 8 carry, a game type back right now.
Fred Warner. Another play, another Hall of Fame play, the pick six, 45-yarder. I mean, he bumps a receiver off his route on the drag route. He gets back into his zone, into his drop. He picks it off, the run after the catch. Now he's got an ankle injury. He's day-to-day, and I'm really concerned because I don't know what these other linebackers are doing. But Fred doing another Fred thing, we could talk about Fred all day long. What are you seeing from these other linebackers? Because I'm really concerned about these other linebackers as Dre Greenlaw works himself back. Devondre Campbell, Flanagan Fowles. What have you seen from those guys so far in this defense, Baldy, through four games?
Well, I mean, they've been aggressive. They've been aggressive, but, you know, Devondre has always had trouble in coverage. Like, he's not, like, you just, Fred is just so smooth in his drops and the depth that he gets and what he takes away in the passing game. That has not been Devondre's game. Maybe he's made a lot of tackles in this league. Look, there's a significant, you go from Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner to maybe not having both, maybe. I mean, that's significant. First of all, those guys have played 6 years together. They know everything about how they play together and how they play off each other, spilling a run to the other guy. Like they're split in man zone coverage. It's just elite the way that they play together. Look, Fred has one mission in life right now, outside of winning the Super Bowl and being probably Father of the Year, Man of the Year, and all the other awards you could give Fred. All he wants is the ball. Like, that's his thing. He wants the ball. Any way he can get the ball, whether he's punching the ball out, whether he's picking it off, whether he's taking a fumble, like, he wants the ball. And I don't know if a lot of linebackers think like that. A lot of linebackers are pretty content, you know, going to make tackles and pumping their chest up when they do and all that stuff. Fred wants the ball. That's the most important thing to him.
He's such a stud. Oh, so he's out of that game in the second half, and I know they had a nice cushion. So, again, I don't know how to evaluate this, but looking at the defense as a whole, Malik Mustafa played a lot at safety, which it was great to see the rook out there. Obviously, Nick Bosa played with tremendous effort in that second half, recording a strip sack and recovering the ball. I thought Floyd flashed. Malik Collins looked good. Just the defense.
Okuwanu showed up.
Who? Okuwanu, like, number 91.
Okuwanu.
He came out of nowhere, buddy. We didn't know who he was 2 weeks ago.
I didn't know either. I didn't know how to pronounce the name for a long time. I've been practicing, though.
Samuel Okuwanu.
I want to make sure I got it right on the show.
Hey, we got it for you, Baldy. We've been butchering it. Here you go, Baldy.
Samuel Okuwanu.
Okuwanu. We just saw him 2 weeks ago. We're like, who's number 91 just having a free rush against Matthew Stafford? We had to look at the practice squad.
Yeah. No, but I mean, there's a couple other guys I was like, that I was kind of studying here, you know, getting ready for this today. Like, I didn't know Evan Anderson, you know, I mean, he punched the ball out. Like, if some of these guys, they're getting into their depth, and look, they keep losing guys. I mean, I don't know how, but I mean, they won the game. The defensive front won the game. They really, everybody, Malik played great. You know, I'm always been a big fan of Kevin Givens. He probably played his best game he's played in years. Nick got home. I know everybody else getting sacks. He was pissing Nick off that he wasn't getting one. So he got here's at the end and the fumble. But that was good to see. Look, they're a very inexperienced offense line. The left tackle probably isn't a starter. The right guard is a rookie. Caden Wallace comes in as a third tight end. He's a rookie. I mean, they ate up against a pretty inexperienced group up front.
Arizona. You mentioned them, and I'm not going to claim a team to quit, not at this level, professional level, but Washington just took – I watched the second half. I was like, wow, Washington just did whatever they wanted. Kyler and company looked frustrated. Obviously, they didn't have Trey McBride, but it is an NFC West divisional game, and division games are different. But what's going on with Arizona? Because I was high on them, not to say they were a playoff team, but I thought they were ascending. This last couple of weeks haven't been good for the Cardinals, Baldy.
No, actually, the week before against Detroit, they played them tough.
Played tough, 20-10.
They gave up a hook and lateral, for a touchdown right at the end of the first half. They shut them out completely in the second half. That defense plays really hard. That was disappointing last week because we haven't seen Washington go up and down. We have seen Washington go up and down the field. They couldn't get off the field. And they're really losing players at an alarming rate up front on their defensive line right now. They have always played hard for Jonathan Gannon. Their defense coordinator, Nick Rales, he's 30 years old. He's the youngest in the league. They've always played hard for him. Buda Baker is I call him the Cobra. Like, he shows up everywhere. But they just got worn down last week, and Cliff Kingsbury's doing a great job. That was an unusual performance by that team. They've been highly much more competitive than that. But I thought Kyler, really missed some throws in that game outside of the touchdown to Marvin Harrison Jr., who's got four now in the last three games. He's their go-to guy, so you have to have a plan for Marvin in this game. And they have always run the ball well. Last week they did not do that for the first time. But Connor is a good back, and Kyler you have to account for. That was – if they think that that's the Arizona Cardinals, that team that Washington slaughtered. That's not really who they are. They play tougher than that, to be honest with you.
All right, Trey McBride should be back. I expect a tougher game, too, at Levi Stadium. Divisional game, Kyler and Company, that's a desperate football team. I'm with you on that one, Baldy. Where are you going to be at this weekend as we let you go? Where's Baldy going?
I'm
going
to go see the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase show. Ooh. See if they can, you know, put up see if they can slow down the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack right now. That's, I mean, Derrick Henry is, you know, they might as well just put him in Canton right now the way he's going.
Baltimore looks good. They've outrushed each opponent this year by at least 100 yards in every single game. That's an NFL record. And Lamar's throwing well from the pocket, Baldy. He's looked like he's coming alive here.
They're a dangerous team. You know, the only thing that was a little bit odd the first couple weeks of the season is the field goal kicker has been the best in the business, and he's missed some to the left. I don't know what's happened to his stroke. But other than that, you know, Baltimore is just a well-coached team, and they're a well-run organization. And after starting 0-2, they figure some things out. Now they're rocking and rolling.
No doubt about that. Baldy, we'll talk to you next week when the Niners, yep, Niners take on Arizona. Baldy, you're the best, man. Thanks. Thanks again.
Yep. Take care. See you, Joe. See you, Bonte.
All right, Baldy.